Love one another. Just like that song, you know, God is love, love one another. The Bible says we are to love one another. And that sounds fairly simple. Sounds simple, simple enough, doesn't it? Or does it? I mean, can we do it? Can we love one another? Can we love one another no matter what? Can we love one another the way the Bible talks about love? Not just a superficial love or a I think I'm in love with you kind of love. And I think I've probably told y'all this before. You've probably heard it somewhere. Something that my mom always told me, you know, since I was a kid was, I will always love you, but I don't always have to like you. She still tells me that today sometimes, even at 35, almost 36 years old. But as Christians, we need to love one another. It should be one of our greater characteristics. So how do we love, or how do we make love a dominating characteristic of our lives? Well, we make love a priority. Loving people can be difficult. There's some people that are a little more, they're a little easier to love than others, and some people just, it's hard for them to let love in. But this is what the Bible commands us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We spend time on what we deem important. For many of us, these choices are valid. You know, our time with family and friends, we have a job, we have to work, prayer, church, serving the poor, whatever it may be. But as the scripture reminds us, 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. So we can do all these things, but if there's not love behind it, it profits us nothing. Even though we have the freedom to set our own priorities, Jesus made a point of defining certain ones for us. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love isn't a gray area in the scriptures. Jesus gave love priority over all Christian virtues. Every thought, response, and act of goodwill must first pass through the fine filter of love, or it means nothing, nothing at all. But why love? Why not something else? You know, what makes it so important? Understand the importance of love. When Jesus spoke to the disciples regarding the first and second greatest commands, he explained in Matthew 22, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, to the people of Israel, as well as for many believers today, it would seem more logical for obedience to be the peg from which the law hangs. Since the point of writing a law is adherence to it. And it is written, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yet Jesus also said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The Apostle Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And this may sound irrelevant to our generation that depends on police departments, guns, and force to uphold and fulfill the law, yet Jesus' simple command requires greater strength than any of us naturally possess, more power than any man-made weapon. The logic of Paul's interpretation of Jesus' command that love fulfills the law seems equally simple. For if one loves his neighbor, he's not going to commit adultery with his neighbor's spouse. If he loves his co-worker, he's not going to lie to his co-worker, stab him in the back. And if he loves his enemy, he will not slander him. So love fulfills the law, because if we truly love every person, because he or she is a person, we will not desire to hurt or violate him or her. Thus, we'll never break the law. Embody the distinguishing nature of love. When we demonstrate Christian love, it distinguishes believers from the rest of the world. Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You notice Jesus didn't say that the people will know that you are my disciples if you promote my agenda, if you wear Christian t-shirts, or if you have a fish decal on your car, but rather, if you love one another. A watching world will be persuaded not when our values are promoted, but when they are incarnated. So in our actions, when we become purveyors of love, it's as though Jesus has given the entire world the right to judge whether or not one is his follower simply on the basis of their love for fellow human beings. The lively virtue of love distinguishes the Christian. From the very beginning, God's plan was to develop a people that reflected his character. And what is his character? It's love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Believers are God's advertisement to a watching society as to how individuals could best live in that society. Now, I read a story, it's really just a small paragraph, of a missionary in East Africa by the name of Ira Gillett. He returned home to report on his activities overseas. He related an interesting phenomenon. Repeatedly, Gillett had noticed how groups of Africans would walk past government hospitals and travel many, many extra miles to receive medical treatment at the missionary compound. He finally asked a particular group why they walked the extra distance when the same treatments were available at the government clinics that were close by to them. The reply? The medicines may be the same, but the hands are different. That's the virtue of love incarnated. You can have the medicine right here, but if it's not administered with care and love, people are going to go somewhere else. That kind of love makes a difference. Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. We are his ambassadors, representing him to the world. And when we love as he loved us, it will make the difference. People will notice. Christian love is indispensable. Demonstrate the virtue of love. How do we demonstrate the distinctiveness of Christian love? Because virtue is a moral action we practice. How can we practice the glorious virtue of love? Love values the other people or the other person. Let's not confuse Christian love with its modern counterfeits. Lust, sentimentality, and gratification. While love is a wonderful, warm feeling, it's not just a feeling. In fact, according to the Bible, love is primarily an active interest in the well-being of another person. Love acts for the benefit of others. According to William Barclay, love is the spirit in the heart that will never seek anything but the highest good of its fellow man. That's the kind of love that we need to have as a Christian. God loved us not because we had something to offer him, but rather because he had something to offer us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved us so that he could demonstrate his mercy to us in the person of his Son. See, everyone around us is of incredible value to God as a potential object of His mercy, His one and only Son died in their place, because people matter so much to Him, they ought to matter much, or matter to us too. And we therefore need to love them as He loves them. Love is vulnerable to the other. In other words, love opens up its life to another person. It goes beyond sentimental feelings. It breaks down barriers. It exposes the heart. When you think about Jesus, He left the glory of heaven to come to earth. He veiled His divinity and took on humanity. And what did it get Him? John 1, verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But can you imagine that, that feeling? And the only way I can think of it is, say you went on a business trip or wherever for a week or two, and you come home and your family doesn't even recognize you. They don't know who you are. That's similar to the way that Jesus felt. Of course, it's on a much larger scale, but that's the only thing that I could really compare it to. And surely that must have hurt. Then as Jesus hung on the cross, dying for these people that He loved, they hurled abuses, scorn, and ridicule. His heart was broken, undoubtedly. And yet He forgave them. Christian love is the most costly investment you will ever make. C.S. Lewis, in his book The Four Loves, describes the vulnerable nature of love. To love is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. Instead, it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Now, that doesn't sound like the kind of love that Jesus would, the Lord would want us to have. He wants us to open our hearts and to love people and to let love in. The goal of living the Christian life starts with love. The measure of our maturity is our love for God and our love for others. If we fail in our love, we have missed what it means to be a Christian. But there's hope. There's hope for the one who has failed in love. You know, at the beginning I asked the question, can we do it? Can we love others in this way? Can we love others in the same way that Christ loves us, has loved everyone? And the answer, I'm afraid, is no. Not without Him. Not on our own. We can't love others like Christ without Christ. The Lord who forgave even those who crucified Him stands ready to forgive you of your lack of love. He wants to show His mercy toward you today, to cleanse your loveless heart and to fill it with His loving Holy Spirit. So open your heart, receive His mercy. Place your trust in Christ and let Him teach you how to love as He has loved you.